Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
Alex Okafor joining us here on the Horn. I saw a quote that when AP came in, I guess for OTAs, that there was just so much talk about, you know, Peterson. You can hear this guy. You can hear his feet. How big of a freak is he in person?
The first time I met him and I introduced myself to him and shook his hand, he squeezed my hand so hard that it got to the point where it was almost disrespectful.
Chad and Kevin.
Brothers don't shake hands. Brothers got a hug.
On the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talk Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Shake your hand.
Hour number three on a Friday. Hope you're somewhere cool and dry and, well, drunk. Really, that'd be cool.
Are you drunk, huh?
Or affected somehow.
Yeah.
Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling producing, getting you those great intros. A little bluesiness. Stevie Ray Vaughan guitar on this track. Trey let us know earlier. Nothing wrong with that.
I like this jam.
Yeah, now I feel stupid for not guessing SRV. I can hear it now.
Can you hear it now?
Once you hear it.
Well, you know what it is? Is that, like, it's vanilla and chocolate. That's, like, all I know. So I go, oh, I think that's a vanilla. I only have two guesses here. And you're thinking, like, oh, I think it's a pistachio. Like, yeah, your palate's right. Too deep.
I went too fancy there. I went a little buddy guy, and it was SRV. Hope you're having a good Friday so far. LSU's having a good Friday. Middle of the ninth, LSU's up 3-1. Oregon State.
Look at that, though.
Six walk-off wins this year. It's not over yet. It's competitive. It's close. Last night's game was incredible. TCU up 4-0. They held on.
It was a good game.
But a really good close game as Louisville tried to power back. We've had some really exciting games to watch in Omaha, and this is another one. 3-1. If LSU holds this, then they get to play tomorrow, and the winner of that will go to the championship game. Obviously, if Oregon State finds a way to come back, they'll go all the way to the championship game automatically on Monday.
I love how gritty TCU is. They've got a feel of a team that has a culture of now getting to Omaha, and they're, like I said, they're a tough out. LSU came back, or Louisville came back. I just got the sense. Now, Louisville beat the heck out of Kentucky in the Supers, and Drew Ellis got real hot. You're going to see him probably in the majors. He's a second-round pick, redshirt sophomore. He got a lot of launch, a lot of pop in his bat, but you didn't see that as much. I mean, here, and it's like their offense just kind of disappeared, tried to fight back a little bit, but what was a really stellar team all year and I thought was going to have a run at this ran into Florida and ran into some arms that are a little bit better, and then TCU, like I said, a tough out last night, and I know Louisville – probably not real happy about it at 1-2. That's how good that program's been in terms of getting to Omaha.
Right.
Or being at the top, whether they lose in the Supers or not.
Everybody's got a different expectation level sometime in Omaha.
Yeah, and it changes. I mean, I remember when Rice got there for the first time, and then Rice 10 years later sounded a little different.
Now, pardon this question here. So, obviously, Oregon State, LSU, they've won titles.
Mm-hmm.
Have Florida and TCU?
No.
Neither have
no,
one.
No.
Okay.
TCU's never played for one.
I didn't think so. Florida's played for one.
Yeah, well, Florida lost to Texas in 2005 with Matt LaPorta.
Right.
And that team, and they were swinging over changeups left and right when Texas was pitching backwards.
You sound broken up about it.
Oh, it was great. God, it was great. Alanis, McCulloch, Kasperic, all of them.
Yeah.
And you bring in Jay Brent. Florida, I want to say they maybe have played one other time for one. But, okay. I mean, this is – they've always – I talk about A&M being a sleeping giant. Well, why? Because it's a big school and there's a lot of kids around there that can play baseball and there's a lot of kids that grow up Aggies or grow up thinking, hey, this is a great park or whatever. Well, Florida's the same way. Florida has no excuse with Miami and Florida State being as good as they were to not be consistently good. So they go to Clemson. They go get O'Sullivan, which was a great hire. And he's actually trying to change. He was trying to lay down a bunt the other day. I saw that late in the game. I mentioned how it came to Augie. It comes to all of them at some point that you may not go full bore, but you realize in Omaha, especially with that top-notch pitching, you got to manufacture some runs.
Bottom of the ninth.
They got him from Clemson, by the way.
Oregon State trying to come back. We'll let you know if they do that. Also, we're talking some football here. 71 days till the first Saturday of college football. Specs text line and voicemail line 337-3776. The question on the table today, started with UT fans, but it could be any fans. What is your minimum requirement for your football team? Could be a record, could be some other stuff. This one says, I don't have a required record. I need UT to convincingly win the games it should. Maryland, Kansas, Tech, and be competitive in the rest of the games. Lastly, show growth throughout the season. No more repetition of the same errors.
Good text. I agree with all that. That's kind of pretty much that was a more refined way to say, looking for eyeball stuff.
Yeah, that's it.
But, you know, I mean, especially that, no more repetition of the same errors. I mean, you know, isn't that all in our head right now? Just some of the stuff that we saw that as much as I liked Charlie and wanted that to work, there's that point and you can feel it. It's like a relationship. You go, this is done. Like, right. this is done. So that type of stuff, I think, is going to be taken care of. But it's not just game management and the obvious stuff. What does the team look like? Is this, I think all of us, most of us have watched enough football. You can tell when you see a well-coached football team, can't you?
You can. I think another way for Texas fans maybe to say it is they want to trust their coach again. I think by the end of three years, they didn't trust Charlie anymore.
Yes, that is another way to say it.
Didn't trust him on a football Saturday.
Yeah, on a football Saturday, you trusted him with, I mean, it's not like I thought he was a bad guy or didn't trust him with the program in other regards. Thought he did a lot of good things there. But yeah, I mean, it's about winning football games, and we didn't trust him there.
Yep, and we'll see if Texas fans have that trust with Tom Herman.
How about this Okie State fan saying 15-0 Rudolph Heisman?
I like that expectation level.
Watch out for them, and I can't wait to dig into them. I'm going to try and dig into some of this a little bit this weekend. I got to find myself a Phillip, but there's other ways to do it. Dennis Dodd, who we had on last week when you were gone, had a good article about Oklahoma State. He says, Oklahoma State is the best offense in the country for 2017, but can it win the Big 12? He is bullish on their offense.
What's that defense look like? I always want to know.
Always a question there.
Oh, yeah. As long as I'll tell you what he needs.
But right away, you gave me all three guys. When I go, okay, Rudolph. You got
Hill's back at running back.
And then James Washington.
And I didn't realize, I forgot James Washington's coming back because that guy does everything for them.
Yeah, no, that's going to be as he says, a very lethal duo.
Yeah, now the question will be, do they have, if they got some beef up front on the defensive line, that's one of the first things I look for. Do they have depth there is going to be big. A texter says, Everett Withers and Texas State need six to show improvement. Looking for a bowl game there.
Hey, one more thing on the Oklahoma State thing in that article. You can go check it out at cbssports.com. And we know this, but when you read stuff, sometimes it just kind of reinforces it. Five of the last seasons have ended in double-digit wins.
Five of the last six?
Seven.
Five of the last seven.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, he's doing a really good job there.
He's doing a better job than he's probably given credit for.
And that I've been saying for years, he's another one of those fit guys, and I mean fit at the school, not he's fit and in shape. That if there's ever these discussions about him and T. Boone not getting along and maybe T. Boone's frustrated with him, that would make no sense to me. I think that's a great fit for them, for what he's been doing there. Because the idea that you could just take Oklahoma State and keep it where he's got it, I think that's a little bit of fool's gold. I don't think that'd be an easy place to walk into and go, I'm just going to do what Gundy did.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be tough.
And it says the last number one scoring offense to win a national championship was Texas in 2005. What Dennis doesn't get into too much, but he knows for sure, is that, well, that was pretty good defense, too.
I was about to say.
There's some guys still playing in the league, and a lot played on the league from that defense.
Who's the Rod Wright on that team? Tell me. Who's the guy, who's the Brian Robinson on that team?
Yeah, I would go more Robinson than Rod.
Who's the Huff?
Secondary that goes through the whole thing.
Who are all those guys? Because that was a salty defense. It's one thing that they scored about 50 points a game. It's what they gave up that was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think Texas fans had the attitude they had throughout that year. Not just Vince in the offense, because they knew their defense wasn't giving up a ton to anybody not named USC.
Yep, that's how you get that type of team.
Yeah.
So a lot of A&M stuff here, but doesn't it seem like A&M is the bigger question? Because Texas fans are going to be more lenient, as they should be, with whatever their minimum expectations are. So as long as it's close, and maybe I saw enough of this stuff but didn't see enough of that, okay, it's his first year. Someone's at the end of the rope there. Whatever the expectations are minimum, you may need to go above even a couple wins from that to really feel comfortable there.
Yeah, and some of the texts we're getting in, this is bizarre to me. It says for A&M, 10 wins, including beating LSU, or 9, including beating Bama and Tennessee. Bowl win this year and 10 wins come year 3.
So they want someone gone.
I guess so. Aggies minimum, 9-3. 10-3 with a bowl game. 10-3 with a bowl game. Wow. I think that's too high. That's just too high. Look at what they are, too. You can have your expectations wherever you want, but look at that quarterback situation. I understand the running backs are coming back, but do you believe in the offensive line that much?
I don't even know what your quarterback situation is going to look like.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here as an Aggie fan thinking about it. The experience is Hubenek, right?
Well, that's the guy who, experience-wise, yeah.
The experience is Hubenek, and then Mond and Starkel are your other two options. I liked some of the things I saw about each one of them in that spring game, but, man, I don't know. I'm hoping one of them takes that job, because I think starting the year with Jake Hubenek at quarterback, sorry, folks in Georgetown, I know he's a G-Town kid, I think that's bad news for Aggie fans.
You didn't like what you saw last year?
He's good.
He's functional.
He's okay.
Yeah.
He can be good. I don't remember a moment where I thought he was very good. I thought he put up a decent fight against Louisville in that bowl game when Lamar Jackson ran all over the Aggie defense. That wasn't Jake's fault.
Well, this is where you're really going to feel losing two quarterbacks like that.
Yeah.
Because they're two quarterbacks that you had to already not recruit anyone else in that year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I mean, losing the two, not just two quarterbacks, but 2 5-star quarterbacks that could have really helped out. This says someone needs 9 to keep his job. I hope they do. Obviously, they're not winning 9 games.
Yeah, but the more I read this stuff, it's setting an expectation that is going to be really tough to meet. So you move on, and you're kind of hoping and expecting that to be the case. But if he surprises us, well, we're Aggie fans, so 10 wins, that'll be a good thing too, even if we're not real happy with someone long term.
Yeah, no, that's true. Maybe that's it. There's a number. In this case, it's the number that can save it almost for Kevin Sumlin. But yeah, we're looking for the minimum kind of base level stuff. If your team does this, you'd be happy with it. You'd check the box. Everything's cool. And for the Aggie fans, it is different than it is for Texas fans, obviously. After this, the era of Kevin Sumlin, Trey said it earlier about, we were talking during the break, if you're saying 8-4 isn't acceptable in College Station, it's also about what the 4 looks like. I've talked about this plenty of times over the years. Sometimes it's not losing. It's how you lose.
And maybe who you beat, which is why I see that.
Mm-hmm.
That number could change if you knock off Alabama and LSU.
Yeah, right, it could.
I'm just saying, it's possible.
I see the smirk on your face as you say that out loud. You couldn't say it without smirking.
How dare you, that's gas.
Right? You couldn't say that. Saying to any team in the SEC, well, just beat LSU and Alabama this year.
Yeah.
Well, and that's silly to say to anybody.
I'm about to say, there's not just SEC. I wouldn't want to tell that to anyone.
Anybody in the country, right?
Yeah.
Name a team. But A&M lives in the place where they have to play them every year, one at home, one on the road, every single year. And they've never beaten LSU. They've only beaten Bama that one time. Everybody knows what that was. And they have eaten some humiliating losses in the West. That is also what's got Aggie fans upset,
because
some of those losses are brutal.
I mean, we're getting this left and right. A&M, my only expectation is Sumlin is fired. Aggie's 5-7 and stumbling, getting on a diet. Well, that may have been a Texas fan.
Wow.
Here's one from an Aggie. Expectations, A&M wins a damn game in November and has more wins than Texas. Prediction, though, Jake Hubenek gets drafted next spring.
Wow.
Does he play baseball?
I hope they're right. I just haven't seen a ton out of him yet. I don't feel super confident with him being the guy. And I'll be honest with you, last year, because of what we talked about with Trevor Knight, I didn't know what I was going to get out of Trevor Knight. There was the up and the down.
Yeah, but you had seen more of wow, that's the ceiling if he can ever hit that.
Yeah, his ceiling, I've never seen Jake Hubenek's ceiling hit Trevor Knight's. Not even close.
No, Knight's a good athlete, too, because Knight could run, and then, of course, he had that Sugar Bowl.
Oh, yes, he did.
The Sugar Bowl.
That's the other thing they're not going to have. They're not going to have a quarterback. Well, if it's him, they're not going to have a quarterback that can move. Mon can move. Starkle's all right. Boy, Mon can move if he needs to.
All right, Sumi, make your money here.
He's going to have to. Boy, if he's going to have to get up, if he has to live in the 9-win neighborhood to make Aggies even kind of think about being happy, that's going to be a tough year.
But if he's the quarterback guru, then that should be, I mean, you know, they've got some other pieces. I love Kirk. Love Kirk.
Christian Kirk is great. They need to. I didn't think he wasn't impactful enough last year. They need to really show him off more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want him to leave A&M and think, boy, that freshman year was good, wasn't it? I don't want to do that.
You guys had what, 3 underclassmen or something like that, but on the offensive line. But then you guys were banged up a lot last year. In fairness.
Oh yeah, no, there was some of that, and
that was more on the defensive side, wasn't it?
They've got some guys. They were banged up there, and then they've got guys. That offensive line's going to come along, and they got some young guys that are pretty good, and have a chance to be really good. What's his name? Dakota Watson? No, is that his name? Dakota.
Yeah, I think Dakota Watson makes sense.
Is that the name? The guy that I think they're going to have him out of left tackle. The kid from Manville went to high school with my niece. I think that Dakota Watson's not the name. It's Dakota something, though. Something like that. Yeah. I'll grab it. I got a Dave Campbell back here. But that is that's going to be a big part of it. We said it the other day, man. The reason 2012 looked so good. Coda Martin. Thank you. I knew it was not quite right. Coda Martin. And when 2012 rolled out the way it did, you just can't ignore what that offensive line did. And the Mike Shermanness of that offensive line has worn off a little bit. I think Aggie fans will tell you that.
No question about that.
Over the last few years, Aggies have not felt the same about their offensive line because it was badass in 12, and it's not that now.
What's going on with number 5? And you and I kind of laughed about this because when you follow a team and once they get the recruiting really rolling, like with Mac, you get very excited, but then you kind of turn into what all these people that are analyzing or fanboys that are talking about the NBA draft today. Oh, you know what I see, Jonathan Isaac. I know. Dream away. Dream away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sweet, sweet dreams. But you get guys like Mac, and the reality is sometimes they're just not what you thought. We saw plenty of them here. But Mac is not even listed as a starter. He's a junior. Is that because the other guys are that good? Because Henderson's not a bad player.
I am hoping that that's because Zakovin Henderson and the other guys are just that much better.
Like Kingsley Kiki?
Kiki's a pretty good player.
That's a great name.
He's good.
As long as his middle name doesn't start with a K.
And that's the part of that defensive line that's supposed to be strong this year, because we know they lose Hall and Garrett on the outside. They've got to be able to hold up against the run. Did I mention the 285 that Geis had from the LSU game?
Yes, you did.
I mentioned that, right? Yeah, they've got to hold up against the run. Armani Watts has to be a stud. Armani Watts has to be talked about every time A&M plays in 2017. I mean, every game.
And Alaka, too, right?
And Otaro Alaka. That would help, too.
He stood out to me last year.
That would help.
He flashed.
That would definitely help. All right, we're 71 days away from Texas and Maryland that first Saturday, talking about the kind of the minimum stuff you're looking for from your team in college football. We've had a couple different ideas out there. Wonder how that changed for Oklahoma fans with the Stoops discussion. Now that it's going from Stoops to Lincoln Riley, do they still keep that expectation level that, what do you mean? We're supposed to be competing to win this conference.
OU Brian will be watching this year. Now, OU Brian's kind of one of the nuttier Oklahoma fans who had stopped watching games because of Stoops.
Wow.
Yeah, for like the last year and a half.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We used to text every year during Texas OU, and I texted him this year, and he goes, sorry, man, I'm not watching. I was like, get out of here. He's like, no, I'm not watching. Hanging out with my kids, grilling. Go, okay, you're taking – kind of – it reminded me a little bit of Trey. I think I'm attracted as friends to people like that.
Inside of the wagon got a little stale.
Got a little stale, but right away his text was like, yeah, finally getting this thing done. I'm really excited about this. So I do think there was some staleness that this is going to freshen it up. We'll just see if it's the right hire, because it's a top 4 program. We'll see.
Yep, no doubt. All right, coming up, we will get you the big 3, update you on things going on in Omaha and around baseball. Astros and Rangers getting ready for a couple of road series this weekend. Rangers headed to New York to take on the Yankees. Plus, we've got the 535 crap bag, all kinds of stuff in there, including people punching people and some baseball numbers for Kevin. He's been pretty good so far. I don't even think he's missed one so far.
Yeah. They've been easy.
You've been perfect.
They've been easy.
We'll see how easy these are today.
Okay.
It's the Horn. It is over in Omaha. LSU has beaten Oregon State, forcing another game. We'll give you the details coming up. New music on a Friday. Who we got, Trey?
This is more Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas. That's a very Gwen Stefani, No Doubt quality about them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear that. Did you say where they were from earlier?
Detroit.
Detroit. Okay, gotcha.
From Britain.
Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas. All right, so Oregon State falls to LSU. LSU finished it. 3-1 is the final.
Two hits.
How about that? Tonight is Florida and TCU. So the Oregon State LSU game, I'm going to double check here to see. I don't think they set the time until the other game is over. Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah, but it's tomorrow.
Right? Well, no, I know it's tomorrow, yeah, but they we don't know when yet because we don't know if there'll be two games.
Won't set it until there's two games, unless they were already scheduled to be that. To be that later game. My question after LSU got beat 13-1 by Oregon State and snapped their 17-game win streak, how would LSU respond? Well, they've responded.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon State is much, I mean, Oregon State had a much better year than LSU and pretty much almost any other team ever in college baseball for the regular season. So they haven't dealt with this a lot. Let's see how they deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. And as we talked about, not having the best pitcher that they've had all year long, maybe that finally comes back to get them a little bit. They have, so far, just if necessary, and on ESPN tomorrow. Tonight, Florida and TCU. Let's get you the rest of the Big Three here at 5 o'clock.
The Big Three.
The Big Three is brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty. Any make, any model. Click AppleLeasing.com and see how easy it is.
3-1, the final. We mentioned it. LSU beats Oregon State. Alex Lang goes 7 1/3 and gave up one earned run and two hits, struck out 8.
Way to go, Theo.
That is the guy that's going to be a Cub for Kevin. He's going from purple to blue. Kevin can't wait.
And that's actually what's gotten a lot of the Major League Baseball fans into this, is because now they're seeing a lot more of these guys. Like, well, if I'm a Rangers fan, I'll at least tune in and see what this guy looked like. My dad watched Louisville for 6 innings to watch that White Sox kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, yeah, you know what? His velocity from the first to the fourth went down. Maybe he could be a reliever. We need some relievers, and his stuff was good, so you can start to dream about that and actually dream about it more than you would with basketball prospects because it's closer. Last time Oregon State lost, I'm looking at it right now. I had to look it up.
February?
Right, it seems like it.
March?
April 29th.
Hey, wow.
They lost 7-5 to USC. And
so this breaks the 23-game streak, right?
Yeah.
Well, they suck so bad they can't even get a 24-game win streak this year.
They couldn't even beat their own record. Well, not a record, but their own school record probably.
Only two 23-game win streaks, losers. Yeah, they'll see if they can bounce back tomorrow. And in Florida and TCU tonight, we talked NBA draft. Fultz and Ball got it started, but Jimmy Butler was the story. He ends up in Minnesota last night, and not a lot of people are thrilled about what Chicago got in return. Although if Zach LaVine can get healthy, maybe that becomes the best part of that situation.
And we had a couple texts. I think Mitch mentioned it, and I've heard this. I mean, they're probably going to buy out Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, that's the talk I hear.
So it's fun. It's funny to think about Dwayne Wade being the guy for them. But yeah, they're gonna. I mean, you're still stuck with Rondo.
Yeah, that's a interesting thing to be stuck with.
And Foreman, for that matter.
Who?
Gar Foreman.
Oh,
the guy who's doing all this.
Sorry, yes, the guy with the
strings. Can't we just get to the root?
With the strings and stuff. Major League Baseball, you got Texas and New York tonight. Yu Darvish and Masahiro Tanaka. Houston and Seattle is Joe Musgrove and Felix Hernandez. Also in the NBA, Blake Griffin apparently has opted out of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So he had a player option. He's opting out. That Clippers team has to look different next year. They feel so stale right now. There's Paul rumors. There's DeAndre Jordan rumors. And now Blake Griffin opts out of his deal. Blake Griffin, a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And
God, some people talk about him too. I mean, you know, he's been an all-star. Shut up. I mean, no. I mean, let's not, you know, we can't throw all-star games out there, especially the way that we know that sometimes, especially in baseball, you know, but basketball too. It's like, okay, well, I'm not sure how much I'm taking into that. I just don't like his game. I'd rather have Jordan, because you know what you're going to get from that, and if you can get someone to be a true scorer, a true three, or a true four with Paul, then maybe it works out. But like you've talked about, Paul doesn't seem to be a great teammate. We've heard that, and he's a vacuum with dribbling.
Yeah, and what does Blake Griffin look like when those lobs are not coming from Chris Paul? What does he look like if there are no lobs? What does he look like with a different point guard?
I mean, he's worked on other parts of his game, and I've seen improvement, but nothing to where I'd go, okay, this guy's really a game changer. For me, he's more of just a dunker, rebounder, and an athlete. He can block some shots. He can do some things like that, but his skill set I thought would be better.
Last year, I saw minor improvements in that jump shot, but not enough. Not enough of what you'd expect. All right, there's some big three for you. Why don't we jump in the crap bag here on a Friday?
I want to like them, though.
I know, I do too.
I mean, I really do.
Just think of a bag of crap.
You would think when we saw that, I thought, okay, this is going to be up and down. Like, I didn't necessarily think that they were going to win it all and that it was the right style. But I loved watching Phoenix, Stoudemire, and Marion. That was,
that was a team I was just thinking
fun
of
to watch.
As you were saying it. Yeah, they need to be fun to watch again, and they have not been that. All right, speaking of fun to watch, I got all kinds of people punching people over the weekend to keep me occupied. One of the ways I get through football season of these last few years is I watch fights. So there's different fights going on. So, Kevin, for you and the boxing folks, and I'm one of those as well, tomorrow night, HBO, they're replaying the Kovalev-Ward fight.
Okay.
This is their second fight. I won't tell anybody who won. I know who won.
You've talked about this. Did you not?
Yes. This is the second fight. The first fight was good. And this is the light heavyweight championship. Sergey Kovalev, pretty entertaining guy to watch. And Andre Ward has been fun to watch develop as well, an American. So that replay is tomorrow on HBO at 9, and then they're going to keep replaying it if you know HBO. They replay this boxing stuff a lot. So
Right. Check
your on-demand or whatever, and you'll get that. That's tomorrow night. Also, we've got a pay-per-view tomorrow night. Remember at the Super Bowl when we interviewed Matt Mitrione?
Oh, he interviewed a lot of people. Yes.
The MMA fighter who was going to fight Fedor. Okay, so they had to move that fight because of an injury. I think Matt got hurt. I can't remember which one of them got hurt. So tomorrow night at 9, it's a Bellator MMA. Unfortunately, it's a pay-per-view, so you'd have to pay for it or go find it somewhere, which I'll have to do.
He wasn't the stereotype I was thinking of.
No, he was fun, and I'm so rooting for him. I think he's going to get beat because Fedor is a legend, and I don't think Matt's got quite enough game for him. But Fedor and Matt Mitrione is on that card, and then Chael Sonnen against Wanderlei Silva, a couple of guys well past their prime, but they hate one another, and that always makes for an interesting fight. So that's tomorrow night. So after I'm done at 10 o'clock tomorrow night, I'm going to go check that out somewhere at a bar. Tomorrow evening, I'm going with Suplex Stu. I'm going to meet Suplex Stu downtown. There's a wrestling event downtown. Wrestle Circus, 8th and Congress. It's a local promotion that Stu he's been down there many times. You know Stu. Now he's into the pro wrestling community. Like, people know him and stuff,
right. And
they know the podcast. By the way, hornfm.com, latest edition of Sports Guys Talking Wrestling is up in the podcast section. Check that out. The latest Fight Night podcast is also up. They'll be talking plenty about UFC and Bellator and everything.
Is this the one at Charlie's?
That's, what's that?
Where is this at? It's at Charlie's, right?
I don't know. It's 8th and Congress.
Okay.
I've not been there. Now, would this be considered NOCO? Is that NOCO, 8th and Congress?
8th and Congress.
I mean, Congress ends at 11th, right?
It's more Coco.
Coco.
It's Coco.
Is it Coco?
Yeah.
All right, so right there in Coco, if you want to go check out Wrestle Circus. And then Sunday night, UFC Fight Night in Oklahoma City. We've got Michael Chiesa, which is just a big, thin, hairy white guy. I think he's like a 155 guy.
Sounds hot.
I love watching this guy fight. He's really fun to watch. Against Kevin Lee, that's the main fight. Johnny Hendricks is on the card. BJ Penn's on the card. My man Clay Guida, one of the guys that got me into MMA, is on the card. Always exciting, although Clay has not been a great fighter lately.
Guida, huh?
Clay Guida. Yeah, really fun guy to watch when he's on. He's hadn't been on in a while. That's Sunday, 6 o'clock prelims on FS2, 8 o'clock main card on FS1. So, if you're like me, and you like your violence, either agreed upon, scripted, or both, there's a lot of it going on this weekend. So, check it all out.
I think this is going to be a good weekend for me to catch up on a lot of stuff, a lot of shows. Mm-hmm. Been behind on Below Deck Mediterranean, been behind on Million Dollar Listing New York.
See?
And then some Netflix stuff, too.
Yeah.
This could be a wormhole type
this could
weekend.
Be a Netflix and chill weekend for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's, we're 10 feet away from the sun right now, so I'm not going to be spending much time outside.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's totally fair. All right, how about some birthdays and old schools and stuff for you? First off, let me before we get to old school, your man Anthony Bourdain will turn 61 on Sunday.
Wow, and no one would have guessed that.
What, they didn't think he was going
to
make it?
No, with a funny, he's been healthier from 44 to 61 than he was all the way from 1 to 44.
What happened to him? I don't know. What happened to him?
Oh, he was, back in the day, addicted to heroin, crack, all types of stuff.
Okay.
But he really cleaned it up. He's, you know, the more people you meet and you see that there's a lot of people that can overcome that stuff. So never give up on that.
All right, your old school star.
Well, I guess do give up on it. You get what I'm saying. Give up the heroin and the crack,
keep working. Yeah, yeah. Let's start with the old school, the old school here. Tony Hill, wide receiver, is 61 today. I, of course, know him as a Cowboy. I forgot he spent time as a Niner, though.
Somewhere, yeah, a little bit.
Somewhere in the career. Old school?
I don't know.
I didn't either. Stanford.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I ever knew that.
How about that? Tony Hill went to Stanford. I know you know this one. LaSalle Thompson is 56 years old today. Old school.
University of Texas.
That is true. Happy birthday to LaSalle Thompson. One of the best big men Texas ever had.
Oh, no question. I'm going to say maybe the best, but Aldridge obviously would have overtaken that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, LaSalle was, he was a guy growing up that you always heard. I heard him and Johnny Moore and Slater.
Yep.
That was like all we had.
No doubt. LaSalle, and a great name too, LaSalle
Thompson. LaSalle Thompson,
that's
yeah.
A wonderful
I love
name.
That name.
All right, let's go to the NFL here. Kevin Dyson, the receiver, is 42. He's the guy that caught the Music City Miracle from Wycheck. He's the guy that came up 1 yard short when Mike Jones tackled him in Super Bowl 34.
A long time ago.
Kevin Dyson, old school?
I don't know why. Fresno State.
Oh, you had the color. Utah.
Utah. Okay.
I didn't know that
one. I knew that one.
I know you know this one. LaDainian Tomlinson, the other LT, is 38 today.
TCU, but where did he go to high school?
Ooh, good question. I didn't note that one. It's somewhere. He's a Texas boy.
He's definitely a Texas boy. Trey, you got that?
Is it the Dallas area for LaDainian Tomlinson?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Where did LT go to high school?
I think it's...
No, Fort Worth is TCU. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's somewhere up in that area. Double check that one for me.
I'm getting it right now.
Yeah. All right.
He's born in Rosebud.
Rosebud. You go to Rosebud Lot? Is that the name of the school there?
Is that a lot? We got a lot here.
I don't remember that being
University there. High School.
University High School in Rosebud, or in that area, I guess. All right, here's one I didn't know, Kevin, but I feel like we should commit this one to memory. The famous coming off the bench, coming out of the locker room, Willis Reed will be 75 years old on Sunday. The famous play with the Knicks in the series. You know where Willis Reed went to school? I didn't know this one.
I mean, I can think of some New York people that would slap me right now, Mitch especially, because they definitely would have talked about it, but I never knew it, so it hadn't stuck. I don't know where.
Yeah, not exactly a school we think of as a basketball school. Grambling.
Oh, Grambling?
You went to Grambling State. I didn't know that.
That's a good list today, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
But I mean, it's ones that like you wouldn't, especially the older ones. I like that because we need to catch up on those.
Yeah. All right, baseball numbers. You ready to go?
Let's do it.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Baseball numbers. Play along at home. Kevin Pedro Martinez.
45.
That's true. George Springer.
15.
Lita, that's not true.
Wow. That's too soon,
look at
though.
You.
That's too soon.
Leadoff man for the Astros.
Too soon. Well, I've seen him. It's actually a good one.
George Springer's 4.
4, okay.
4 is the number for him. Unfortunately, I'm staying new for you. How about Bryce Harper?
See, I mean, it's got to be imprinted. I mean, I've seen these guys play a bunch.
Well,
I want to say 24, 27?
34.
Okay.
I see. Now I know how to get you. We got to go new to get you. Mike Trout?
Mike, 27.
That's true.
Yeah, that 27. One.
27. And now I'll go back for you. Rick Sutcliffe.
That's a good one. See, this is where I wanted to get into it here, because this stuff like Sut, it's 40.
Correct.
But Sut, it takes a little while to get the old ones. Like ones like that, the random ones.
Mm-hmm. For the record, Rick Sutcliffe, I would have also accepted 48, 43, and 44.
For Baltimore?
He wore different numbers on different teams, but 40 is what he wore with the Cubs.
With the Cubs.
Yep.
Isn't that funny, too? Because I was thinking about some guys the other day, and I thought, I could only give you one team on that.
Right. Now, see, I'm going to write all the numbers down. You can give me any of the acceptable numbers. So there you go. George Springer wears 4. If you don't know, you might want to learn because he's leading off with a homer for the Astros all the time. Bryce Harper wears 34. Mike Trout wears 27. I didn't know those last two. Like, I know they're studs, and I guess different numbers, but I'm not as good at it as you are. I'm not as good because it's not on the front and back normally.
I was just about to say, baseball's the toughest.
That's what gets me, man. I never... I need to start thinking of it and looking at it more.
Throw football and basketball in there, and I'll bet you, even though I'm such a seam head, that it'll be, because baseball is. You just don't. Yeah. Now, pitchers, I can see that. So when you say Doc Gooden, man, I can see that slider coming out, and I can just see 16 rotating.
I think that's why football would be the easier sport for
I don't think there's any question it would
sports,
be.
Sports, that would be easier. Yeah, of all the sports, I think that one. Basketball can be tough, too, because sometimes those numbers get a little small. But I think basketball, football, I could do better than baseball.
But basketball, also, I think we identify more with that number.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
I mean, you hear in basketball, like when Jordan went to 45, it was, what?
Yeah, and there's so many numbers in baseball, that one sometimes gets lost.
That's a numbers game.
You have the number of the position, so your shortstop is 6 in your head, and then you have all the batting averages and all this stuff that's in your brain, and sometimes their number is the last thing you're thinking of.
I went to a Yankees-Rangers game when I was up there, living up there. And that was fun. There's a lot of Texans that are up there, either traveling or already living up there, and it was a good time. There was some good trash talk back and forth, but all in good fun because it wasn't Yankees-Red Sox.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine.
You know?
Yeah. Actually, nice to you.
Yeah, well.
Relatively speaking.
Yeah, no.
Like first time I went to Baton Rouge, they were relatively nice. Actually, they're really nice to Aggies because we haven't beaten them yet.
Right. I wonder what that's like with, well, I guess I know, but I wasn't with, I've been to an Alabama-LSU game back in the day and tailgating, but I wasn't with an Alabama person necessarily.
Right.
I mean, Major kind of is, but he's also an LSU guy.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's a hated world now. I wonder how they'll treat Orgeron in that rivalry. They did not like Les Miles. All right.
I wonder what their number is, too.
For LSU or for Bama?
For
Orgeron?
Yeah, Bama's at this point with that thing rolling, you know.
12 minimum.
12 minimum.
To 12.
LSU, though.
Ooh, man. Oh, they'll say 10. They'll say 10. They're LSU fans.
Yeah.
They're expecting a lot.
And then you know what? Over the last 15, 20 years, I've actually built that expectation.
Yep. They should expect that, I guess. All right. 6 o'clock hour coming up. Round Rock Baseball as soon as we are done. 6:50 pregame, 7:05 on the first pitch. Coming up, though, we'll check voicemails 337-3776 if we have time. And otherwise, we've babbled too much, and we'll see you on the other side. It's the horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Friday, up against the top of the hour here. If you're just jumping in, LSU beat Oregon State 3-1, so they're going to play them again tomorrow. Winner will go to the championship round on Monday. Guess the zoo freaked Oregon State out.
Too much time off.
That's it. Too much time.
The bats did cool down, but some of that is a right-hander. You're going to be pitching in Wrigley pretty soon.
That's true. Yeah, Mr. Lang had a 7 1/3 inning. Nice effort today. Only gave up, was it 2 hits?
And the
1 run.
They only got 2 hits the whole day.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, voicemails before we get out of here this hour. 337-3776. Voicemails, Trey?
One voicemail.
It sounds like this.
Jared Allen, another Longhorn in the NBA. Hakeem Hunt!
Absolutely. Longhorn pride. Jared Allen at the 22nd pick goes to Brooklyn last night. I know you were swelling up with pride.
Oh, I know. It, you know. Well, he's one of those kids. He committed here in 8th grade. I mean, he knew he wanted to be here. No, I mean, look, but hopefully he'll be all right. I definitely think he should have stayed, not only to help his prospects out, but also develop his game. Probably would have been a higher pick next year, which they're already saying is a much weaker draft. You know, I love how they assume that they know how good these guys are from 3rd grade on. And I've heard them talk about that.
Right.
It's like, well, we know who the top 8 guys are from 3rd grade on. Oh, okay. All right.
Like
Jimmy Butler, like Steph Curry. I mean, yeah, some of these guys you do. You're right on Kevin Durant. You're right on LeBron James, but not all of them.
It's true. NBA draft was last night. We're talking about that. And if you missed our interview earlier with Mitch Lawrence of Sporting News and Forbes Magazine, we'll replay some of that for you coming up. Good article today about the Jimmy Butler situation, and that's where we start the conversation with Mitch coming up on the Horn.